Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we are going to jump into the message that God has for us today. God, thank you so much for the power that we have in the relationship with you, God, the power of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that today that we would be empowered by the Holy Spirit as we enter to the Word, Lord, that we could understand it and take it to heart. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people typed in the chat, and they said out loud, amen. Amen. So we are doing a message today called Power in the Name, right? So there is power in the name of Jesus. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. And you might be going through a situation similar to the testimonies that we heard today. You might be going through a season right now where you feel a little powerless, right? If you were a person that was large and in charge before the world flipped upside down and you had everything figured out and you knew exactly what was going on Monday through Friday. Any A-type personalities in here, check the box. You like to know what is happening every single second of the day. You got it planned out down to the minute. I know you guys. You might be feeling a little powerless because of how things have changed around and you're trying to scramble to get things back. You might also be feeling a different kind of way. You might be feeling overpowered. So if you're a person who maybe didn't have it together before all this happened and now you're like, oh my goodness, what in the world is going on? I feel overpowered. I feel helpless, hopeless, anxious. I just don't know when I'm going to be able to breathe again. That is a real deal that a lot of us are feeling, right? You can feel powerless. You can feel overpowered. And I want to say this, that if it wasn't obvious to us before, it should be very obvious to us now that there are powers in this world. There are powers for good and there are powers for evil. There is a power for good and righteousness, and there is a overwhelming power for evil and darkness. That is a very basic part of our worldview as Christians. We understand that in this world, there is such a thing as right and wrong, good and bad. And those two things make a difference in how we live our life, how we see this world, how we read this book, and how we give ourselves away to other people so that they can be encouraged and see the light. So turn with me in your copy of the scriptures or on your device to Acts chapter 19, all right? Acts chapter 19, we're going to be picking up today. And Paul is actually starting up his third missionary journey. So Jesus has, at this point, ascended back into heaven. If you're just now joining us for the series, Jesus has left, right? He has ascended back into heaven. But before he did that, what did he tell his disciples? He said, you are going to receive what? Power. Thank you, young man, best friend. Apparently, I never said that, people. But love you, Wes. But you're going to receive power. Power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you are going to be my witnesses all over the place. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, man. And they couldn't have even imagined what Jesus was talking about at that point. They couldn't have imagined the kind of power that was going to be available to them so that the gospel could make its way around the globe, so that men and women and children all over the world could come into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. But he said this, you will receive this power. And they did indeed. The Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost. Jesus has ascended back into heaven. And now 20, 30 years later, the Apostle Paul's been converted, and he is traveling around the world sharing the good news about Jesus. And today we find him, he's firing up his third missionary journey, his third and final. He's in the city of Ephesus, which is a pagan city, which is a beautiful, exquisite, luxurious city, full of idols, full of witchcraft. One of the seven wonders of the ancient world was located right there at this point, right where Paul was. It's the Temple of Artemis, a god that they worship. And so this was a city that was full of seemingly good things, but at the same time, it was also full of darkness, dark magic. And so that's the context for where we are in today's message, Power in the Name. And we're going to pick up in verses 8 through 12. And if you're taking notes, I'm going to go ahead and just let the cat out of the bag. I got 3 points for us today. Number one is this, preaching the name. Paul is preaching and proclaiming the name of Jesus. And then number two is this, perverting the name. There will always be people, when the name of Jesus is preached, there will always be people that come along and they pervert and they profane the name of Jesus. And then there's also praising the name, because when we preach the name of Jesus, people hear the gospel and are converted and are saved, and they begin to praise the name of Jesus. Amen? That is what is happening in this passage. So some really interesting stuff is happening. You're going to find out in just 1 second. Verse 8 says this, and he entered the synagogue. That's his pattern. So Paul enters the synagogue, the Jewish place of worship, in the city of Ephesus. They did have one of those there as well. And for 3 months, he spoke boldly. This is like a record for Paul. He usually gets kicked out of synagogues way quicker than this. I mean, 3 months is like a lifetime in a synagogue for Paul. It only usually takes him a couple of Saturdays, and boom, they're like giving this guy the boot. Get out of here. But he might have toned it down a little bit. Who knows? But for 3 months, he's sharing in the synagogue. And he spoke how? He spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way, that is the name that they were known by, the way, the church, the Christians, the followers of Jesus, before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. You see, he switched locations. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia, that is the province of Asia, not the continent of Asia, heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Paul is preaching and proclaiming the powerful name of Jesus. And how is he doing it? Well, we see right there in verse 8 that he's doing it boldly and with reason and with persuasion. And we do the same thing. When we preach the word of Jesus Christ, it's powerful. And how do we proclaim it? We proclaim it boldly. We don't proclaim it rudely. We don't proclaim it meanly. We don't proclaim it in a self-righteous kind of a way where we think we're better than anybody else. Because the truth is, when we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, what we are proclaiming is that we are not good enough either, that we don't have it all together. The gospel basically just says this, is that I'm all jacked up. I'm all messed up. I can't do anything right. But by the grace of God, he has poured into my life. He has ambushed me and dragged me from the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light, from bad to good. And it's not because of me and how awesome I am. Sorry, Wes. I know your best friend is a terrible dude. But by the grace of God, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And so he preaches it boldly because it's true. But he also preaches it with reason, right? Not just crazily, not just on the street corner somewhere, but with reason. He talks with people face to face. He reasons with them and helps them understand the world that they are seeing and how they can view it biblically, because there is darkness and there is light. And if you really think about these things well, you will begin to understand that what the Bible says is true. And so he preaches it boldly. He preaches it with reason, and he preaches it persuasively. And what is he preaching when he preaches this name? I'm glad you asked that question. Let's just go to the next verse. Well, still in verse 8, he says this. He was persuading them about the kingdom of God. What's Paul preaching? He's preaching the name, of course. But he's also telling them about the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom that is available, that we can be ushered into because of the good news about Jesus, about his death on the cross, the kingdom of God. You see, we live as believers primarily in the kingdom of God. Yes, we are citizens of whatever country we currently reside in, but ultimately we are citizens of God's kingdom. God's kingdom is the one that we should have our eyes focused on and set on and living in, and every decision that we make, everything that we should, that we do, should be based on the fact that I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And Paul is preaching that name in that way. He's preaching boldly, persuasively, with reason. And he's also preaching about the kingdom of God. And he's helping them to see that the world that they're living in, the dark kingdom that they're living in, is wrong. It's messed up. It leads to destruction. What else is he doing? He's preaching continuously. This is all still the first point, folks. So if you're taking notes, this is all just subheadings under the first point. Paul is preaching it up. And he does this. He gets kicked out of the synagogue, right? We read that. They didn't like what he had to say. And they became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way. Let me tell you this. When you speak boldly and when you speak with reason and when you speak with passion and persuasion, the gospel of Jesus Christ, people do not remain unchanged. They either change and move toward Jesus and their heart becomes softer, or their heart becomes harder and they move further away and they embrace this evil that's talked about here. And they begin to speak evil of the way before the congregation. You can see that today in our culture, that if you say something that's true in whatever context you get to speak in, whether that's in a public forum like this or on social somewhere, and you put out something about the good news of Jesus and what he's done, isn't there today in our culture a sense where you could get land blasted a little bit for just saying some simple truth that God has spoken in his word? All right, that's just me then, right? Yeah, it's absolutely true. And the same thing is happening here. And they're like, man, forget this guy. Let's kick him out of here. And what did he do? He quit, right? He quit preaching the gospel because he came under persecution. No, that's not what he did at all. He preached the gospel, the good news about Jesus. He preached the name boldly, and he preached it continuously. That is, he didn't just quit. He preached it continuously because he took the disciples and he went up the street to the Hall of Tyrannus. This is a hall where people would come and they would lecture and they would rent space and they would be able to have their followers or their disciples or anybody that wanted to listen to them or a town hall meeting, and they would all come together and they would rent some space. And Paul's like, all right, I got kicked out of the synagogue. That took a while. Usually I could record that on my watch, but now I had to record it on a calendar. But I'm out of there now. I did my part. I went to the Jews first, and now I'm going to the Greeks. And he went up the street and he began to do the same exact thing in the Hall of Tyrannus. Tyrannus means tyrant. I don't know what kind of guy owned this building, right? I mean, I'm guessing he charged some pretty high rent. Who knows? But it's like the Hall of a Tyrant. Sure, let's go there. You know what? We want to be a church that preaches the gospel anywhere. In a bar, in a bowling alley, in a courtyard, doesn't matter. Wherever we are, wherever we go, to a grocery store, that's where we preach the gospel. You know, you go to the grocery store to tell people about Jesus. And while you're there, you might as well pick up a few groceries, right? I mean, why not? Or you could just have them bring them out to your car these days and put them in the back. That's also a convenience. Maybe you could just capture that person that's loading them up and tell them about Jesus. But this should be a thing that is pouring out of our hearts every single day, so that we cannot stop talking. And that's what Paul did. He was preaching the name continuously. What else do we see here? Not only is he preaching the name, but we also see people beginning to pervert the name. And so we'll pick up and keep reading in verse 10. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. God is blessing the preaching of his name. God does bless the preaching of his name when we do it boldly and plainly, and when we do it continuously. We don't quit when any little thing comes along. And people were not only coming to know Christ as their Savior, but people were being healed, and people were having the demons cast out of them. And so this was an extraordinary time. In fact, it says it right there that these were unordinary times. God was doing extraordinary events. Why was he doing these extraordinary events? He was doing that to solidify, to shore up, to prove that what Paul was saying is true. He was in a city full of magic, full of spells, full of witchcraft. And Paul had the power of God behind him. You see in the very first verse that we read there that it wasn't Paul that was doing the healing. God was healing people, verse 11, through Paul, by the hand of Paul. But it was God that does the healing, God that does the saving, God that does the casting out of evil. And he was doing that to make sure that everybody there understood that this is right, that this is real, that this is true. They didn't have the New Testament at that time. And so this was really backing up what Paul was saying, so much so that Paul, as he was waking up in the morning, had his quiet time. You know what he did next? Went to work, just like us. Made some tents. See these tents? They were made by Paul. No, they weren't really. But this is what Paul did, right? They weren't made out of plastic. They were made out of fabric. And so Paul would get up, and he'd make a little bit of money by sewing some tents. And it was hot and sweaty, man, in Ephesus. It was this modern-day Turkey. That's where Ephesus is. And so Paul would probably be wearing these, like, sweatbands. That's what handkerchief means, sweatbands. So he'd have these sweatbands around his head. He'd have them on his arms. He's, like, dripping sweat. He's just a regular dude making some tents, getting all sweaty. And he's got a big old apron on so his clothes don't get dirty, because he's probably wearing a suit later on to go to the synagogue and preach. And boom, he takes all that off, and people are like, Paul, there's somebody over here that needs a healing. Paul, we need you to come and cast out this demon. He's like, I can't be everywhere at one time. Paul, just give us these old sweat rags, right? I don't know who first came up with this idea. I don't know. But they were like, Paul, God's power is working in you so mightily. We're just going to, I wish we had more details on this. We don't. So we got to speculate a little bit and say, you know, somebody took these sweat rags. They had the idea. We're going to carry these sweat rags, and we're going to take them to the people who are hurting. And they're going to be like, seriously? I'm sick. I'm dying of disease here, and this is what you got for me, sweat rags? But sure enough, they brought these sweat rags and dirty aprons of the apostle, and people were being healed by the power of God, not by the power of handkerchiefs. Do me a favor. Don't ever send off for a handkerchief that you see on TV. There's still people out there perverting the name of Jesus and trying to sell some hanky-panky, right, on the internet or on TV, going, hey, if you'll send me a little bit of money, you know, these were free handkerchiefs, by the way. But now people are trying to make money going, hey, if you'll just send me some seed money, you know, send me $50, I'll send you this handkerchief and you can receive a healing. Well, that's a perversion of what was actually happening in this time when God was confirming his word through these extraordinary miracles. But people were perverting the name. And so let's go to verse 13 if you're still with me here. Then some of the itinerant, that's traveling, itinerant Jewish exorcists. This here is the only time in the New Testament where you see this word exorcist. That means that these guys were going around exorcising the demons. Now, this is not like a hit class for demons, right? This does not mean that they are going down to the Y and the demons are doing a workout together. It's not exorcising, it's exorcising the demons. That means to cast out, right? So these itinerant Jewish dudes were traveling around and they were casting out demons in this city. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you, I command you, by the Jesus who Paul proclaims, catch that, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Okay, so here's the deal. People were perverting the name of Jesus just like they do today. And these guys were actually profiting from the name. Profiting from the name. That is, they had an exorcism business set up. They were traveling around. They had some business cards made up. And they were passing them out saying, hey, if you got a demon, you feel like you got a demon, you might have one, something's oppressing you, you feel overpowered or powerless, give us a call, Seven Sons of Sceva. We're here to help you. And they would go around and they would make money by casting out demons, by these incantations and these chants and these things that were not of God, this black magic. And they stumbled across this Paul who was so powerful by the hand of God that even his sweatbands were casting out demons and healing people. And they were like, dude, we got to get a piece of that action, right? I mean, surely that can make us a lot of money. And so they were perverting the name by profiting from the name. And then they began to abuse the name of Jesus. How did they do that? Well, they didn't even know Jesus. They didn't have a relationship with Jesus. They never had an encounter with the living Christ. They just wanted to make a little bit of money off of God's Son. That's a dangerous thing to do. So they went around, they didn't even know it. You could even say it, see that in the way that they say it. Pay attention, it says this. I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. I mean, they're being straight out like, hey, this guy Jesus that Paul's talking about, we cast you out. So they go to this house, they're going to cast out this guy's demon. But the evil spirit answered them in this case, and he says, Jesus I know. Jesus, I gnosko, that Greek word there is gnosko, which means I know in a real and an experiential kind of a way. Now, why would this demon be saying, Jesus, I know in a real and experiential way? Because Jesus knew this demon and every single demon. You see, the truth is that Jesus had kicked this demon's butt out of heaven a long time ago. So he remembered Jesus well. He knows Jesus well because Jesus is God. Jesus had created this angel who had fallen and now is roaming the earth, hell-bent on messing you up and messing me up. That's how he knew Jesus. And then he uses a lesser verb when he refers to Paul. He's like, Jesus, I know that dude really well. But then he goes on, he says this, and Paul, I recognize. I don't know him as good as I know Jesus, but Paul, I recognize, I've heard about this guy and what's going on with him. But who are you? You know, a question that we could ask ourselves once in a while is this, is what do the evil spirits in this world think about you and me? Are they like, who are you? You're nothing. Or are you and I people who are living right, who are following God, who are proclaiming the good news about Jesus and are a force to be reckoned with, not out of our power, but because of the power of God working in us and making a difference in our world? Or are we people that the devil would just say, just leave them alone. They're just wasting their time all by themselves. I don't even need to mess with those people. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be used by God and be a force to reckon with so that when the time comes for me to stand before God, he could say, well done, good and faithful servant. And even the demons knew who your name was because of the way that you prayed and the way that you shared and the way that you obeyed. And they looked at these sons of Sceva and they said, who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, I don't know if you've ever been beat up, right? Nobody ever likes to admit that they got in a fight and they got whooped. Anybody here? Now, anybody here ever beat somebody else up? Come on. Yeah, I see those hands. But nobody wants to admit when they got beat up. So I've heard about people like that. It must be terribly embarrassing. So the truth is, these guys got whooped. I mean, there were seven of them and one of this guy, and they thought they were doing something special. But this man with this demon inside of him jumped on them and took these guys to town. So bad that they actually left out of that house bleeding, but here's the bonus, naked, right? Like, that would be like us sitting here right now and seeing seven naked dudes. Derek, don't do this as an example. Thank you. To see seven naked dudes running down the street scared, because if you ever been face-to-face or in the presence of pure evil, of an evil spirit, it's a thing that will wake you up when you realize that this Christianity that we preach and that we live, it's not a joke. It's nothing to be messed around with. It's a powerful thing, and it needs to be, because the power of darkness in this world is very powerful. And so these guys come yelling and screaming out of a house, naked, bleeding, and they are beat up. And people are like, man, what kind of exercise group do they got going on here, right? I mean, this seems like California. Naked exercise happening right there at that house. So they come out, they're running, they're screaming, they're beat up, they're scared, and they're embarrassed, because nakedness in the Jewish context was devastating, humiliating. It was one of the most humiliating things that these guys could have ever experienced, that in their so-called ministry, in their business, their manhood, all of that paraded down the street for everybody to see. And that was on the 7 o'clock news, right? They had 7 o'clock news back then, not 6 o'clock. So that was on the news, man. Everybody in town knew about that. So this is what happens when you pervert the name of Jesus. You ultimately wind up paying the price. But guess what? God takes what was meant for evil and uses it for what? Yeah, for good. God takes what was evil and uses it for good. These people were trying to pervert the name of Jesus that Paul was preaching. And then we begin to see that because of this, third point, people begin praising the name of God. Let's pick up in verse 17. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, the story about these naked dudes. And the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled or praised. Also, many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. What's happening here in this section, praising the name? God used this incident, this thing that was meant for evil and perversion, for good. God used it to extol his name, to build up his name, so that every single person in this city who was mixed up in the dark magic, in this dark arts, in this witchcraft, that they would see that there was a higher power, and that these guys had tried to pervert this name, and they begin to see that these evil forces that people talk about, they are absolutely real, and there is living, running proof of that going down the street right now. And I don't know what happened to those guys, but I don't want that to happen to me. And so they begin to realize that there's only one name that carries real power, and that is the name of Jesus, the Jesus that Paul has been preaching and proclaiming here for over 2 years now. You see, Paul preached in the synagogue for 3 months. He got kicked out. He didn't quit. He went to the Hall of Tyrannus, and for the next 2 years taught and discipled and built up the church and preached the name of Jesus. And then people begin to confess their sin. It says this, believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And so what happens when the name of Jesus is proclaimed is people get convicted of sin, and they saw what had happened. They saw how the name of Jesus was powerful, and how people trying to pervert it were beat up. And they were like, you know what? I got something to tell you. I've been fooling around with that stuff as well. I've been fooling around with this Ouija board. I've been fooling around with my astrological chart. I've been like messing around with my horoscopes, and I've been doing all kinds of foolishness, and I just need to put all that out there and say, that's all of the devil, and I need to turn to the light. I need to turn to Christ and live in his kingdom and not in the kingdom of darkness. And they begin to bring all this, and it turns out they had tons of books and stuff that were very valuable, and they begin to bring them and put them in a pile and set them on fire. And the Bible tells us that the value of those things came up to over 50,000 pieces of silver. That is a whole lot of money. It's not really clear. It's really hard to figure out, because the silver coins are not really identified in this passage. But it's at least over $50,000 worth of books that were brought and burned as people begin to confess their sin to God. Let me encourage you this, brother and sister in Christ. You might be here and you might say, well, I'm not messing around with witchcraft. I'm all right. But whatever secret sin that you hold in your life, in your closet, that nobody knows about, that you're keeping there as a little pet sin, that you're keeping around, that you refuse to let go of, that you're holding on to, it's sin. It's brokenness. It's darkness that does not belong in your light, and you're really robbing yourself of the joy of the Lord. And let me encourage you, whatever that might be, whatever that thing is, that you would be embarrassed today to stand up and say, I got to be honest with you. I've got this secret thing going on in my life, and I need to let it go. Do it. Do that thing today, no matter how much it costs you, your pride, your embarrassment, your finances, whatever that sin is, let go of that out of your life, because it is not worth the joy that it is taking from you. Confess that thing. Make it public. Share that with another believer. Confess your sins one to another, the book of James tells us. Confess your sins to one another, and then you'll have freedom over it. And so that's what people were doing, man. They were just having a revival right there in the city of Ephesus. They were bringing all this stuff, throwing it out, setting it on fire. I mean, they were like, I'm going to sell this on eBay. I get a lot of money for this, and then I can use that money for the church. They're just like, this stuff is jacked up evil, man. Let's just burn this stuff, and shows how powerfully they thought about this. Verse 20, so the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. When the gospel is preached and when the name of Jesus is praised, the word of God will increase and prevail. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That means you, and that means me. And there's nothing that will be able to stand up against that. If you are moving in the power of God and doing what he has called you to in your life, regardless of what anybody else in your whole entire world thinks, you do what God's calling you to do, and you leave the consequences up to God. Amen? You commit right now to do that thing, what God's calling you to do, what God and his Spirit is moving you toward, to be the church, to be the thing that he wants you to be, to do the ministry that he wants you to do. And God will bless that. And the word of God will prevail, and people's lives will be changed. Let's be the church. Let's be a church that is about doing whatever God calls us to, no matter how crazy it might seem, no matter what the world might think of it. And we know that if we do that, consistently, boldly, in love, that we will see people saved and baptized and walking with Jesus and the kingdom of God moving forward. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this story in your word, and Lord, for just giving us these examples to follow. God, thank you for the Apostle Paul and how he gave his life away, ultimately gave it away by giving his life, so that the gospel can move forward. God, thank you that he preached your name. And Lord, even though people perverted your name, he didn't stop. But Lord, you took what was meant for evil and used it for good. Lord, if there's anyone here today who feels like people are coming up against them and they're being attacked and evil people are trying to come against them, Lord, remind them that even in that situation, that you could take that and use it for good. Lord, I pray that we would be a people who glorify your name regardless of our situations. And Lord, I pray that your name would be praised in Roanoke and around the world. God, I pray that you would use this little church right here to be a place where the gospel is being proclaimed, where lives are being changed, and where your name is praised. And we thank you in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.